Welcome back to Find Your Fight. This is redo of episode 11.1. However, this is now episode 13 because we have done 11 and we did 12 yesterday. Basically did two podcasts in 1 week. Three technically because of the boo-boo. But I've got Rachel Rogers back in the studio, y'all.
Hello. How's it going today, guys?
Tell us about yourself, Rachel.
So, as Alex introduced, my name is Rachel Rogers. I am 23 years old and live here in the great state of Nebraska. Omaha, Nebraska. The topic that we want to talk about today is something that I have come to very firmly believe. And it is something that I think, it's a statement that I've made that is kind of, I think, all-encompassing of why young people struggle so much in the aspect of college and lifestyles and jobs, that area of their life transitioning from teenagers to young adults. So my statement is, high school teaches you about college, it doesn't teach you about careers. And college teaches you about jobs, but it doesn't teach you about lifestyles. I'll let that sink in for a second.
I 100% agree. However, there are certain things that aren't, like, they aren't in all schools that I immerse myself in outside of all the academia and the bullshit shop class. Dude, we had, in junior high, we had a small engines course, literally broke down a Briggs & Stratton single cylinder motor all the way down to pieces, and then we had to rebuild it, you know, clean the cylinders, maintain it, and rebuild it. And to me, I got more out of that course than I got out of any, you know, history class or science class or math class. Minus my consumer math class, which that was an excellent course because it taught us about, like, the reality of car loans. Depreciation, things like that, real world concepts that you're going to use immediately after you leave high school. You know, you go buy your first car. You got to know that shit.
Before we dig too much into the positives about school and about what we've learned and what we take forward,
we're going to hang on the dark side. Okay.
Well, I kind of want to, I want you guys at least, because this is my first time here, that you're hearing me, I want you guys to understand maybe where I'm coming from a little bit and how I got here.
Hit me.
So, I am someone that has a pretty severe anxiety disorder, and I went through what I have now come to believe, or what I call it, is a situational depression, and that lasted from about 6th, 7th grade all the way until about, I would say, a year ago, honestly, about 2 years ago. And I am somebody that was always good academically. I could always get in there and get it done, you know, and I was good at school. But when I hit that depression and I started to doubt and question things and was in such a dark place emotionally, that changed how I looked at school. That changed how I looked at life. That changed everything. That changed my whole perspective. And then going into high school and everybody just saying to you, well, what class do you want to take next semester? What class do you want to take? And getting translated over into going into college. Well, what class do you want to take? What do you think you want to major in? Instead of asking, how are you doing? You know, where are you at right now? What do you think, where is your big picture at right now? Where is your mindset at right now? And I remember the first time that I had the idea and I spoke to my mother directly about, you know, I want to go to college, but I don't think I want to go right out of high school.
Right.
And her response was automatically, what do you
mean? Oh, hell no.
What do you mean? No, you need to go to college. And from her perspective, I completely understand. She is somebody that raised two kids by herself. She is somebody that has never had help from anyone.
She's a warrior.
She's a warrior. And she is somebody that went to college, really wanted to do something, but never had the encouragement or the proper guidance to get there.
Did she finish her degree?
No.
No.
Because she didn't have any support.
Hence why she was pushing you so hard.
Exactly. Yeah. She wants, and you know, and her seeing my sister is 4 years older than me, and our family interaction has always been rocky, to say the least.
Right.
Seeing the path that my sister went down, she has, even though I am not my sister and she has always known that, she has also never wanted that for me. She's always wanted a better life than the life that she had and the life that she gave her children.
Right.
Not that we ever had a bad life.
But
you know,
she
we
wants
had,
you to be prosperous
yeah,
and successful. And
exactly. Excellent. So I completely understand that perspective, but in that time, in my place, in that point in my life, it was not what I needed.
Right.
So I went in and out of college for a while. I went directly to Iowa State University, stayed there for a year.
Great school.
Great school. Gained a lot of experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, what up, freshman
and,
year?
And then came home, and I knew that I wasn't finding my niche. I was miserable, and I didn't understand.
Just kind of like going through the motions.
Yeah, and so I just started working, started saving up my money. And then I had to use that money because life changed.
Of course.
Yeah. And then saved up a little more money, went back to school, went to UNO, University of Nebraska, Omaha, for those of you that don't know.
UNO!
And went there for a semester, had changed my major. By the way, when I went to Iowa State University, I started off as an engineering major. Changed in the second semester to a design major, which I actually really did enjoy those classes when I went. But I was
graphic design.
It was a little more artistic than that. Okay. It was undefined. It was
so
just
like
general design.
You're working with like sculptures and things of that nature, or more like building bridges and architecture type of.
It was a lot of drawing still life, a lot of drawing, sitting and drawing sculptures, a lot of sitting and.
So understanding.
Yeah.
How to do all that, how to create.
And that was
things.
Just one of those classes that I enjoyed. You know, again, I didn't go to class a lot because I blew it.
Freshman year. It was the freshman year that you had to go have fun, do your thing.
Well, I wasn't in a good place, and I didn't have what I needed. I didn't have the tools I needed to succeed. And that goes back to my statement of high school teaches you about college. It doesn't teach you about careers. And college teaches you about jobs, but it doesn't teach you about lifestyles.
Right.
So what I mean when I say that is high school, going back to your experience with shop class, with, you know, all
that's
those.
That's what got me through, man.
Yeah. You know, it's not that you don't learn anything in school. It's not about that.
No, but it's like the shop classes are more catered to people that are hands-on learners.
Yeah. And, you know, learning is something, at least here in America, the way that the education system is structured is it is so test-taking oriented that you're not out there getting real-world experience in the way that you may need to succeed, at least I feel that you need to succeed. You're not gaining lessons about real-world situations in which you need the tools to succeed.
Right.
You know? So, in high school, when you're transitioning, when everybody's asking you, oh, well, what classes you want to take? That's teaching you about college. That's not teaching you about, hey, have you thought about, you know,
you're talking about like the beginning of the semester where you go in and talk to your guidance counselor and she's like, hey, herpaderpader, class is this, class is that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
General ed, like, get me through this hellhole.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. And then when you go into college, and then it's like, okay, well, you can go down this path and get a degree so you're ready for this job, or you can go down this path and get a degree and be prepared for this job, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. It doesn't teach you, again, about tools that you need to succeed outside of the workplace.
Yeah, the real world, the life skills.
Yeah, because life is more than just your job. There are some people out there that do have a true vindiction and validation from their job. They
word of the day, twice over.
What was I saying? Sorry. They do get a real, they feel fulfilled from doing their job and living their life in that job.
Right. You know? Because they found their passion and whoop-de-doo, good for them, you know? Yeah. But, like, what about the rest of us?
Yeah. And I do think that some of that maybe comes in with a closed mindset mm-hmm. of having this kind of a mindset growing up where you're structured, you go to school, you come home, you obey. Yeah. So when you get into the work field, it's like your job.
Obeying, you're going to be fine in the workforce.
Yeah.
If you, however, like me, don't really like authority and would rather do your own thing your own way. Like, for example, love my boss here, love Cameron.
Yeah.
But when he tells me to put someone through a workout that he built, I'm like, cool, dude. Gravy. I'm not into it. Because guess what? I have zero attachment to it. Mm. I didn't create it.
Mm.
It wasn't my workout. And I know for a fact, like, my workouts are more intense. I'm not knocking his workout, but we've got a couple different styles. Like, he does a lot of high intensity. I mix high intensity with weightlifting. So, like, if we're doing bench press, and then the next one's squats, and the next one's, say, lat pull downs,
mm-hmm.
we're doing a full body in three moves. And if I tell you, hey, three sets of 20 reps on your 10 rep max, kill it, 45 minutes later, you're dead. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you got a great workout. Like, I put Mark through a workout. Mark and this other gal that came in this morning at 5. And, like, Mark's, he's an ex-bodybuilder, well, strongman, actually. He's an ex-powerlifter.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty stacked. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This muscle memory's a hell of a thing. And, like, halfway through the workout, he's like, this shit sucks, man. Yes! You know, because I threw it together. It was my workout.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to suck. I've done all my workouts. Like, I know I'm not going to put you through something that I can't do. You know, unless I'm, you know, you really piss me off and it's time to grind. You know, you're sitting there jabbing. Because some people like to sit there, jab the whole time and not work. If that's a consistent thing,
mm-hmm.
I'm just zero talk. Here's your workout. I'm going to get you, I'm going to encourage you through it and do my job. However, you're going to go down today. Like, you're going to work for mm-hmm. this sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I rock, man. Like, when you're in my domain, it's go time. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You've trained with me before. Yeah. It's go time, man. Where are we?
I love working out with you, though. You always bring great energy.
Dude, the great energy, the heat, fucking bring the fire, man.
Yeah.
Like, bring the fire. And so, like, in that sense, we're kind of trailing off, but I want to bring it back.
Yeah.
If it's a student's idea,
mm-hmm.
if you sit there and you just pick their brain,
mm-hmm.
like, as a guidance counselor, this is what I would do. I'd say, Miss Rogers, outside of school and, you know, all your peer groups here and everything, you know, what do you do that makes you smile? You know, what do you do that, like, makes you feel good inside before, during, or after doing that activity?
Right.
And so you come to me and you say, you know, I really just love making candles. Cool. I love blending the oils to make the scents. I love making candles.
Mm-hmm.
It lights me up. As that guidance counselor be like, that's groovy. So here's what you need to do. Go business major. So in high school, start gearing yourself towards being a business owner,
mm-hmm.
taking your finance classes, taking your bookkeeping classes, taking your consumer real world math classes, you know,
right.
and then getting you into art and creating and things of that nature. Maybe take a shop class, teach you how to work with wood and things like that to make candle holders for your candles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of guidance counselor I would be. I would dig and dig and dig
mm-hmm.
past all the I don't knows, past all the I don't cares, past all the I don't give a fuck, I don't want to be here's.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't getting out of my office, bro, until we fucking nail this shit down.
Right.
Because I'm not going to send you off just willy-nilly, you not knowing what the fuck you're doing.
And to piggyback off that, I mean, when you sit down with, you know, a 17, 18-year-old kid, You know, they may not be able to answer those questions, but you asking those questions will hopefully trigger, will hopefully trigger them to start asking themselves better questions.
Correct.
Something that I have learned with my life coach. I work with a life coach. His name is
Jordan. Give him a shout out.
Yeah, give him a shout out.
What up, Jordan?
Jordan Cervantes. He is a phenomenal human being. I'm very fortunate to have him in my life.
Doesn't he do fighting too of some sort, martial arts, or is that different Jordan?
That's a different Jordan.
Okay,
sorry, different Jordan. Yeah, I also fun fact for you guys, I grew up a taekwondo athlete.
Don't let her fool you. She's a badass, dude. Look out. See her on the street. Don't fuck with her. She's got moves, yo. Roundhouse kick you right in the teeth.
Anyways. So, that's Jordan Relford. Shout out to Relford Martial Arts.
For real, though.
Yeah. But piggybacking back to Jordan Cervantes, life coach. I've worked with him since, I want to say, October, November.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And we worked together for a period of time, and then we kind of took a break, actually. Ended up starting working together again, and we see each other once a month. And he is one of the people that has changed my life for the better.
Word.
He is somebody that, when I say life coach, for those of you that don't know what that means, and it can mean different things to different people.
It's very depends
convoluted. On, yeah, and it depends on, you know, who you're working with, how they like to do things. But
what
I know
their methods are, you know.
But with Jordan, he is somebody that is very action oriented. It is about asking yourself better questions. That is the big thing that I think those words have changed my life, honestly. Asking yourself better questions. You know, a year ago, if he asked me, well, what do you want in life? You know, how do you want to be living a year from now? I'd say,
I don't know.
Yeah. Now I say, you know, I'm starting a surgical tech program with Methodist College next fall. And I see myself 10 years from now living a green lifestyle. I have these ideas and actions and visions. I have action plans through him. He is somebody that has given me tools to put these ideas into reality.
Bless his heart, because it took me a long time to do it on my own.
Yeah. But no, he is somebody that I highly recommend. If any of you are
stuck,
if you are in a place where you're looking for help or outlets, and maybe, you know, therapy doesn't sound like the right path for you, or, you know, medication doesn't work for you, something that is outside of just, oh, you need help, go to therapy. Oh, you need help, go see a shrink.
Right.
You know, it's something greater than. It is something that you take into creating a new lifestyle for yourself. So, Jordan Cervantes, you can contact him through Foundation Proof. That's FoundationProof at gmail.com. I highly recommend, if any of you are looking to make a serious change in your life, look into something
shift.
New.
Shift. If you're looking for the shift, if you're waiting for the shift is not going to come to you. You have to make that move.
Yeah. And you have to want it. You can't help people that don't want to change their own lives.
I don't know, dude. I learned that the hard way with training, man. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I had this woman, not naming names because she's a sweetheart, but she was a major weight loss client, and we were making good progress, and it was a money thing. It ended up being a money thing. Her husband got laid off or something like that, and, you know, I totally get it. But, like, she worked hard, so, like, it's not that she didn't want the change, but I think that where there's a will, there's a way. Like, I told her, like, I can wiggle on price, and I could even do free sessions until, you know, y'all get back on your feet. Like, I just want to help you.
Right.
I just want to be the reason that you come here and you work your butt off and you get results. You know, and that's what I'm all about. But, like, you cannot force your hand on things like that. You can't force that change.
Right.
They have to find it within. And if you are hitting walls while you're trying to change and trying to make an effort, A, quit trying and start doing. And B, if it's not working, don't try the same approach twice. Just like...
What's the definition of insanity?
Right! You know, you continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, you're not going to get one.
Right.
Unless by some divine miracle, there was a, you know, variable that came out of left field and maybe changed your circumstances, you know, that's something you could have not controlled. You know, like a bird flying into your turbine. You really can't do anything about that. Like, that's not on you, man. But, like changing your approach.
Mm-hmm.
I tried so many times to be the nice guy that all the girls, you know, would like to be with and whatever. And the more I try to be this nice guy, which I am a nice guy, but you know what? Every now and again, you gotta turn on the heat.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta turn on your, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Because the sooner you quit giving a fuck what people think of you, the sooner you'll have better luck in not only your career life, but your personal self life and your relationship life. You know, so many people are so worried about what people are going to think of what they say. So they create this whole different character.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of it. I'll do it. You know, I'm in customer service. I've got many characters, okay? You know, and that's real. That's raw. Like, from the horse's mouth. Like, you can call me fake, call me what you want, but if my customer is irate and I need to put on my good old boy shoes and get on their level and start talking whatever they're into and really, really build that to fix the situation, I'm going to do it at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with if you're running into brick walls, you're trying to, whether it be build muscle, lose weight, get an art degree, go back to school, or even just get your ass out of bed in the morning because you're depressed. If you've tried caffeine right away, cold shower right away, neither of those things work, if you're going for a walk, remove yourself from your structure, leave. You're not a tree, you can leave. Go walk a mile, 2-3 miles. You know, headphones on or not, you know, just go clear your head. Try something different. If that don't work, try running. If that doesn't work, cycle. You do a 25-mile cycle, I guarantee you the last thing you're thinking about are your problems. That's when I get all my shit out, dude. Like, if I really had a rough week, I get on a bike and I go until I just can't. But
gonna bring it back to
yeah, we're gonna bring her on back because that kind of trailed. But
no, you're good.
I just wanted to drive that point home.
But what you were saying though earlier about, you know, being counselors, you know, kids, you know, at this stage in their life, having people around them that aren't necessarily always looking out for their interest.
Right. People are very selfish. You got to be careful who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, and that is something that is very damaging, you know, obviously. But I think that if people had let me rephrase what I'm saying. So, going back to you being a counselor, sitting down with the kid and asking them questions, you know, I guarantee that kid doesn't go home and sit there and ask themselves about big picture questions. Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. You know, you don't know where this kid comes from. You know,
you
this
can't
kid...
dictate what they're thinking about all that shit.
Exactly. I feel that the way that, and again, I'm only speaking from an American perspective. I've only experienced American education system. I have been fortunate enough to travel overseas, but I've never gone through any sort of foreign education system.
Right.
To my knowledge, things are done a little differently over...
Oh, for sure.
Just about everywhere else, you know?
For sure.
You hear these beautiful programs that they have in Europe. They started a wonderful, phenomenal program in Japan, actually, recently. But where, you know, these kids, it's not structure, you know... Standardized test.
The whole, you know,
it's not
rubric this,
you know,
plan that.
If in
it's about
school,
interaction.
if in school kids start to learn that there is more than school, if kids start to learn that there is more than your job, if kids start to learn that there is more than just yourself, more than just the structured world that you've been conditioned to live in for so long, it would do wonders for these young adults. You know, they won't just be, oh, kids, send them off to college, you know, good luck.
It's just like a conveyor belt.
It's, yeah, it's, where do you come from and where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself? Ask yourself better questions and think about not just what job do you want to do, it's about what kind of life do you want to have? What kind of life do you want to make for yourself? And, you know, a kid could very well sit there and just say, you know what? I don't need much. I wanna sit and
paint on the beach.
Yeah, I wanna sit and paint on the beach.
That's possible.
I'm fine living out of my van. Okay, that's a lifestyle. Think about that lifestyle and how do you get there?
Yeah, and how is it gonna be conducive for your well being overall and
exactly.
You're not starving.
Exactly.
You know?
If a person says that I want to be a doctor. Okay, what kind of lifestyle do you picture yourself having? If you say that, oh, I want to be a trauma surgeon, and I also want to have a animal rescue business on the side. Okay, well, you need to really sit down and think about that lifestyle. There are only 24 hours in a day, and maybe it's possible for you, maybe it isn't, but you can go into the medical field and have this business. You just maybe have to think about it from a new perspective. You just have to adjust your hours. You have to think about what kind of lifestyle do you want to live.
Right.
I don't know if what I'm saying makes
sense.
No,
yeah. I've got a client in high school, and he wants to be a veterinarian. Like, he wants to be a vet. He's
okay.
A freshman, and he already has what he wants.
Okay.
Fucking groovy, dude.
Yeah.
And Tom was like, Jay, like, I really want this bodybuilding thing for you. Like, you've got the genes for it. Like, he naturally has award-winning calf muscles, bro. Swear. Like, it's freak. Like, freak genes, yo. Freak. His mom's the same way.
Calf muscles the size of grapefruits.
Dude. Like, 5 grapefruits, yo. Swear. At least 3 of them stacked up. And then a few little mandarin oranges, you know, for the small calf muscle, you know. There's 2 of them. But, you know, and it's like, and he's like, well, can I do both? I'm like, of course you can do both.
Yeah.
You can use your veterinarian money to boost your social media following and your ad campaigns for your bodybuilding career. Duh, man. Come
right.
on.
Right.
You know, like, and, but that's another issue is we have this, like, this long-standing line of closed-minded thought because we're so structured and so told what to do all the time from a young age up
right.
through 18. You go to college, people are still telling you what to do, man. Still telling you how to live your life.
Well, and I would say that my experience with Iowa State is I got out there and I realized pretty quickly just how alone I was. There was nobody that I could reach out to. You know, you go and you talk to your counselor, your peer counselor, and their questions are, so how are you doing? You know, are you enjoying your classes? Okay, what classes do you think you want? It's all school oriented.
It's all the sales pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
constant.
Yeah, even recently. So I'm currently taking classes. I was taking classes at UNO. I am transferring into Metro. I'm not doing classes this semester. I'm going to start again in January. And then fall of 2020, I'm going into a surgical technology program with Methodist College. And I keep getting messages from UNO saying, oh, we noticed you're not enrolled. Let us know if you need any help with the enrollment process.
Yeah, not like,
it's not,
hey, Rachel, we'd like to set an appointment with you and see, you know, see how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then bring up, you know, we've noticed, like, are you off the beaten path? Are you off track? Can we help get you back on track? Like, what can we do to make this a good experience for you? You know, what kind of grant opportunities can we present you, like, to help you if it is a money thing?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, oh, when are you going to be registering for your next set of classes?
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's so defeating. It's like, you just want my money. Eat shit.
I'm talking about defeatist. I was listening to a podcast recently, the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yes.
Shout out to Joe Rogan.
Get it, Joe.
He was...
Hashtag Rogan.
This is an older podcast. He was with Travis Barker.
Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah, drummer from Blink-182.
Yeah, dude. Love Barker.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And they were talking about... Barker was speaking about his experience becoming a drummer. And he had said that, you know, he had a conversation where he sat down with a school counselor and said, you know, I want to be a drummer.
Yeah.
And he was flat out told, well, that's not a possibility.
What?
Yeah.
He's like, bitch, please, watch this.
Yeah. You know, and he went on to discuss how some of the best times in his life were when he was struggling, you know, living in, you know, a friend's closet.
Yeah.
And then going and playing gigs, you know, at this location and at that location, you know, with his band, making his music, you know. So again, that goes back to the conversation of lifestyle. Maybe his lifestyle at that time wasn't what somebody had imagined for him, or what somebody would say is a quote-unquote successful lifestyle, because
right.
he's living out of somebody else's space,
yeah,
or he's
that.
Not
he's
really
living his dream.
Yeah, but
piss on it.
But he is living a lifestyle that was healthy for him.
Right.
So,
dude, I can totally relate. Yeah. Since I started playing shows consistently every week, like, my depression is gone. My anxiety is at a bare minimum. The only anxiety I get now is like if I've got like a moving job and it's, you know, I'm a little bit nervous for it because it's gonna be a huge job.
Yeah.
You know, I get a little bit of anxiety there, and also, you know, when the wife comes to me like, well, how are you going to pay rent? Like, what do you mean? I own a business, yo. Like, because I don't have a consistent paycheck, that, again, I want to hammer on that, the consistent paycheck bullshit, since we're on this kind of topic.
Yeah.
We learn in school, again, we don't learn about lifestyles, we learn about jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We learn about the next step of structure.
Monetary value is equal success.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. They say it's hand in hand when, you know, some of the richest people on the planet are fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that they find themselves doing is trying to make more money.
Right.
And then when they find themselves, like, burnt out, they start going broke, whatever. But back to the consistent pay thing. We're taught that if you don't have a paycheck every week or every month or, you know, semi whatever, that is just god awful. That's just the worst thing ever. You gotta have that paycheck every week for that security.
And to a certain extent, you do need money to live. There is the basic cost of living, you know.
But there are so many other options besides 9-to-5 lifestyle.
Absolutely.
But we're not presented with those options.
Not at all.
We're just not. Colleges are paid by corporations to funnel people in.
I had never even heard of surgical technology until my mother started working at Methodist Hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And now it's what I want to do.
And they weren't pushing personal training when I was in high school. They weren't trying to get people into personal training jobs. They're trying to get people into factory jobs, welding jobs, banking jobs, you know, like all these corporate mumbo jumbo things that we need, well, elite needs to survive and keep building their pyramid, their hierarchy.
Right.
And keep, you know, functioning. If all one day every manufacturing, every major business, all the grunts, all the entry level human beings just decided to not go to work for a week, what would that do to profit margins? What would that do to possibly the mindset of these big business owners? See, that's the thing. As soon as we're unbrainwashed, we can start thinking like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time we're brainwashed, that doesn't even enter your mind to not go to work that week. Because by golly, you need to make that paycheck, that measly paycheck job, just over broke paycheck, in order to stack up for the next 3 weeks and pay your rent.
Right.
And pay your bills. And single moms that are even making $42,000 a year living in, you know, the average home, say she's paying $750 a month, plus utilities, plus internet, plus this, plus groceries. she comes out negative at the end of the year, right, if you do the math. Negative. Trying to raise a kid and not having a fucking penny to spare for herself. To get her hair done. To do her nails. To feel pretty. To feel beautiful again. Because she's too fucking broke. But she doesn't have a college education. So she's automatically mentally defeated because, oh, I don't have that piece of paper. I can't surpass this level of job. But that's what they pounded into our head. No degree, no big job, no good job. You know, you want a good job, you got to go get schooling. Mm-hmm. Like they fucking light that fire in us from day one. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's gross.
Right? And again, for some people, we're not sitting here trying to knock anybody that has followed a certain lifestyle.
We're just having
this is just a conversation about maybe more so my personal experience, how I feel about, you know, education, jobs, lifestyles, careers.
But we're not the only ones that feel this way.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of
millions
young people out there that are struggling.
Because they don't fit the bill.
Yeah, and it is scary. So I have a 5-year-old nephew, and the thought of him growing up in this generation is scary to me sometimes. You know, between the way that we as human beings have become with social media, the internet, everything that is surrounding the human condition that we have created for ourselves, and also just the way that the education system keeps changing in such a rapid negative downhill trajectory. Yeah. I have a lot of friends that are teachers right now, and on one hand, they're enjoying it, and yet when I talk to them about, hey, how are things going with your job? It's, oh, man.
Yeah.
This shit. You know? Yeah. And it's scary hearing that. You know, it's scary thinking about what, I can only imagine what my nephew is going to have to go through.
Yeah.
You know? But that is a whole nother conversation. And I'm not, it's not all, you know, negative, negative, negative. He is going to have a great life.
13 years from now, when he's 18, what's life going to be like? Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to have a great life because he has people in his life that care about him. He has people in his life that I know I certainly intend to be in his life in a way that asks him big picture questions about, hey, who do you want to be?
Yeah.
You know? If he does, you know, maybe he doesn't get that from his father. Maybe he doesn't get that from X, Y, and Z people around him. He's going to get it from me.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that's, I think that is something that we as human beings, it's the most important thing that we have to give to each other. Time and care. That is the most important thing that we as human beings have to give to each other. And it's important to do that. Even if you can't go into the school system and change everything with the snap of your fingers, you're not Thanos.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Bing!
you can still impact somebody in a positive way.
You know what? That one person may go to 5 of their friends and say what you told them, and it may change 4 of their lives. The 5th one's just fucked. He's going to work construction and, you know, maybe pull heads off chickens at a factory, maybe. I don't know. But if you're not open to outside knowledge that can help you, sorry, that's on you, man. Like, because I was stubborn and because I didn't listen to all these parties that were like, hey, you know, go to ACT preps, you can get into a good college. Mm-hmm. You know, if I would have listened, you know, there's a very good chance that I would have thrown away everything musical to pursue that career.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And because I feel like I just would have dove so deep into it. Because when I do something, I do it. You know what I mean? I get it done. I do it well. And I'm thorough. So that's one thing I talked about with one of my buddies at the Down Under one night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an old man. He's a complete stranger. But we're friends now. He has this conversation with his wife every so often of, you know, you work harder than me, whatever. She works in an office. He's a landscaper.
Okay.
2 different ball games. But I told him, I said, the reason she gets that way, the reason she is so uptight and high strung all the time and feels insecure about her level of work ethic or whatever the fuck y'all fight about, the reason that she's all like that and all bleh is because she goes to work, there's a stack of papers, she does like data entry or something like that. Stack of papers, cool. She gets to the bottom of the stack, she knows there's more stacks. The job's never done, okay? But in trade, go to a trade school, you learn welding. You learn, you know, whatever trade it is. You get there, like for mowing lawns. Guess what? You show up once a week, mow that lawn, it's done. You completed a task. And at the end of the day, yes, are there more lawns to mow? Sure, tomorrow's orders, but today's orders, we did A through Z, it's done. You get to wash your hands, go home, and sleep like a fucking baby. Because you worked hard, you completed your task. In this office setting, it's a constant open-ended thing. It's a constant funnel. And she can't just drop it. She can't leave work at work because the work's never done. It's a fucking hamster wheel, man. It just is. It's shitty. And, you know, I realize there are some folks out there that enjoy their pencil pushing office job. I get it. We need those people. Not everybody can be Mr. Awesome Rocket Man and just do what they want and, you know, pursue their dreams and drop their jobs. Because if that happened, if we all pursued our dreams and dropped our jobs, it would be a very different world.
Right.
Corporations would no longer run the motherfucker. It just wouldn't happen. Because we'd be going after passions that have nothing to do with the corporate world. Such as art, music, you know, starting our own business. Fuck the corporation. It's going to get to a point in America where these corporations are going to crumble. They will. Eventually. Because we're waking up. I don't know if you've noticed, but dairy prices are price to sell. A $3 gallon of milk couple years ago is now $1.66 because they can't sell the shit. It's going rotten because people are switching to plant-based milk because it doesn't give them the explosive shits. It doesn't make them feel like ass. You know, it doesn't rot. You're not drinking essentially pus from a cow rotting in your gut. What the fuck do you think that's gonna do? It is. Same shit. It's the same fucking shit. Dude, I'm telling you. Dairy's gross. It's disgusting.
I mean, dairy is not... When you sit there and think about...
You would throw up.
I did.
You would.
Okay, for the record, though, I just to put in my two cents on the vegan, non-vegan conversation. And it's not necessarily...
I'm not anti. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
To me, knowing what I know, if the world knew what I knew,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't drink milk, dude.
Well, and... I am not somebody that is, like, anti-vegan.
We are intense.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, but yes. And so are meat eaters. No, and there have been times in my life where I've been sitting down and trying to have a conversation about food with, you know, a vegan person. And, you know, their first response is, oh, well... How do you think that pig felt? Or how do you think that cow felt?
No, fuck all that. Like,
yeah, that's not okay.
But we've been doing this shit for hundreds of years, you know?
Well, and...
Can't change shit overnight.
When we're talking about, like, big factory production and, you know, what contributes
to... Oh, you mean the fact they're burning down Amazon rainforest to build more cows? I mean, grow more cows? I mean, raise more cows?
I mean, okay. So, if we're talking about big factory production and what it contributes to the destruction of our planet...
That's the issue I have with it. The big factory production. I don't care if people eat cows.
I'm sorry, but...
But get it from a farm that raised it free range and loved it and cared for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I totally get that.
Because that energy in that meat is not going to be vile and toxic.
And vegans with a lifestyle that, you know, everything pre-packaged, preset, you know, everything that is factory. factory-based, factory-sent, special-made, that kind of a lifestyle isn't contributing to the health of our planet either, in my opinion.
No, single-use plastics? You know, fuck that shit, dude. Yeah. Make your own food. Go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Buy raw materials.
Yeah, I am not somebody that has a problem with eating meat. I do have a problem with animal cruelty.
Oh, fuck
And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But
that's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. This is a whole nother podcast. Yeah,
we'll get into that another time.
So to bring it back around,
But no, vegan lifestyle. Again, going back to lifestyles, I didn't hear about the term vegan until I was in high school, probably. You know?
Yeah, I honestly didn't hear about it until, like, you know, 3 years ago it was brought to my attention. And I was in complete disbelief about everything, about how, you know, our beef was raised, slaughtered, etc. I was in complete sheer disbelief. I'm like, piss on it, whatever, fuck them.
Right.
That's, you know, how I handle things mostly. I'm not worried about the time because we're on a roll here.
I'm just keeping track of it. That's all.
But what was I saying?
You're talking about beef slaughter type.
Right. Yeah, and it came to my attention from a buddy's sister that moved to California and went to school at USC and came back with all this knowledge, and she's now a vegetarian. I'm like, whoa, dude, why? Like, I was like, why would you quit eating meat? Like, I was defending it, you know? Like, why? She's like, watch Forks Over Knives and then call me.
That's a great movie. I
watched
that
it.
Documentary. Yeah, it's great.
Well, a week after I watched Forks Over Knives, we cleared out our fridge of all meat, dairy, anything that wasn't vegan, and chucked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gave it to a buddy because, you know, why waste food?
Right.
But it was, you know... And it's not only, like, the animal products that are the issue. It's the preservatives and these corporations making food-like substances for us to consume. You read the back? Dude, you read the back of even a power bar these days. There's so many preservatives in a power bar.
Right.
I rock a Clif Bar. You know, I'll rock that shit. There's still a little bit of high sugar content in it, but in a pinch, I need that sugar. I need those grains. I need energy.
Right.
But like your prepackaged little donuts and little honey buns, like all this junk, they just slop together some chemicals and call it dough, and then bake it and slop together some more chemicals, call it icing, and then they put it in a single-use plastic that goes nowhere, goes in a fill, it doesn't break down for at least 50 years plus, and it's not completely gone for like 100. Why are we not funding more recycling programs? Why?
Right.
Oh, that's right. Because the businesses that fund all the toxic bullshit, they're billionaires, dude. They don't give a fuck what we're doing. They don't give a fuck if we die from eating their product. They don't care. Because they're so far at the top, they don't even know the name of their secretary, let alone the people that work beneath that.
And again, this is just our perspective. This is not going to say that everybody that is at the top of a corporation or at the top of a business
by all means.
Yeah.
Not everybody's evil, but I'm talking like those...
It's big picture.
That 2%, the 2%ers that run this country. We are not ran by a government.
Right.
We are ran by corporations and lobbyists that fund the government. They say, you know, Mr. Trump, if... you know, you don't let us dump in the ocean, you know, at least 2-3 times a week. We're going to pull our $8.2 billion from your account. Or whatever the amount may be. It's a lot of dough.
Right.
You know? And that's what makes me sick. Is like, just because you can't dump in the ocean to cut costs, find another fucking way. You're not hurting for cash. Find another way. Bury it. Burn it. Do something else. Put it in containers and build a warehouse and put that shit in there. Don't dump it into the planet that feeds you.
Right.
The planet is the hand that feeds humanity.
Right.
But we're biting the fuck out of it.
Right.
When's that shit gonna stop?
It's not gonna stop until we don't have a choice.
Right.
Which
so
that day is 4.5
years from now when we're 6 months from complete fucking failure. Yeah. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope we wake up before then. And to round it back to the topic, you know, kids, students, college grown humans, if you're out there listening and you're really struggling with, you know, all the evil and all the ugly in the world, I just encourage you to keep your head down, speak your truth, even if your voice shakes, but keep your head down, pick your battles, and really find what really lights you on fire. Because the second you find what you're passionate about and you pursue that shit, you're gonna have this veil lifted off your heavy mind and off your heavy shoulders. You're carrying the world on your shoulders because it's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's not your responsibility to carry the world on your shoulders. It's not on you. Mm-hmm. What's on you is to find meaning and fulfillment and be free in this life, because that's our birthright, is to be free. Mm-hmm. But very, 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 very few of us are.
Right.
Which is sad.
Right.
So the only way I find to be free is to do what I love.
Right. So I guess to kind of round out and think about, you know, what I maybe want to leave this podcast with, you know, because I don't want any of this to come across as us just
like we're
harping
just
on
snarky
the
fuckers in our office. Yeah.
Just harping on the negative, because that's not the point of this. You know, the point is to address the topic and then think about, okay, you know, how can I take this into my life? You know, for me, it was looking at my nephew and figuring out, how do I want to be involved in his life?
Right.
How does he need me? And how can I make a positive impact for this person? You know, so if you're somebody that is, again, like, is dealing with somebody that is a young adult or going through transitions in their life, be a person for them. Give your time. Time is the most important thing that we as human beings have to give to each other.
Absolutely.
Give some time and give some consideration. And don't just sit and ask, you know, hey, how's it going? You know,
don't small talk.
It's not about small talk. It's about asking, how are you doing as a person? Don't talk to me about school. I know it's a part of your life, but what about the rest of your life? Start asking them better questions and see, and you'll be surprised what some of their responses are what their responses become over time. Young people out there, I hope that they recognize the power that they have within themselves and the power that words have.
Absolutely.
Words. Yeah. Words,
you can kill
power.
Somebody with words.
One of my all-time favorite quotes is Eleanor Roosevelt: "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent."
Yes.
And that just goes to recognize the power that we give words. You know, if somebody comes at you with a negative mind frame of, "Oh, you can never do this," sit and think about that, and you decide: am I going to let these words affect me, or am I going to choose a different path?
Right. Yeah, and another quote that I'd like to throw out there is, if the words you said appeared on your skin, would you still be beautiful?
Yeah.
If the words you spoke appeared on your skin as tattoos and they were permanent, would you still be beautiful?
Especially the words you say to yourself.
Right.
Your own self-talk.
Yeah, if those words appeared on your skin, dude, I'm not gonna lie, I don't feel like for a long time, like, the way I looked at myself, I would not be beautiful.
And for me, the way that I would have looked at the time that I was going through that depression versus where I am today, I would be two completely different people. I would be covered in a lot of different tattoos, you know, because my life has changed. So even if you are going down a dark path, or you're in a dark place, or, you know, things are happening and you are struggling, it does not mean, and you're lost in that moment, it doesn't mean that moment it has to last for a lifetime.
No, and don't make it last for a lifetime.
And it's difficult. It is difficult to go through certain life experiences and not feel defeated. And it's difficult to go through life and find people that you genuinely like and you genuinely trust, and you can genuinely go to them and talk to them about something and take something positive away from them. I have cut a lot of negative people out of my life that beforehand, again, before my life changed for the better within this past year or two, I was wasting too much time and energy on them, you know?
Word.
Because my mindset was different, because I was giving these people power over me, and because I was in a mindset of, I care too much, and I need to take care of these people.
Right, and in a way, like, I've been there, done that too, and in a way, I was externalizing all my power that should have been going here to mm-hmm. me, to these other people that didn't want my help, mm-hmm. that didn't take my advice, that didn't respect me as the man that I was and the man that I would become. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, like, I talked to a good friend of mine from when we were like, you know, I've known him since we were like six, all right? Mm-hmm. We go way back, stupid. But, like, he'll still give me shit about the same shit he's been giving me shit for since we were 10 years old. And it's like, who the fuck do you think you are, man?
Right.
Who the fuck do you think you are? I offer you a fucking job in your field, and you've pitched me the same bullshit you were pitching me at age 10 through all the way through high school. Like, give me a fucking break, bro. Like, what did I ever do to you to deserve that? Oh, if I didn't give you shit, that means I wouldn't love you, man. Fuck off.
Right.
Anybody who ever tells you that or gives you shit because they love you, quote unquote, fuck them right off. Leave. They are dead to you at that point. Fuck them. You don't need that shit in your life. I lived with that shit in my life up until I was about 21, 22, 23. I finally kind of like found my own voice. Mm-hmm. But unless you have your own voice, people are going to speak for you all day long. No, and it's to drive it home even further, you know, they make it seem like it's harmless, make it seem like it's just locker room bullshit, whatever. They make it seem like, you know, I love you, man, blah, blah, you know, but we just like, you just like to give you some shit. It's like, all right, cool. And if I give it back, if I call you out on your insecurities and your flaws, then what, motherfucker? What are you going to do? You're going to lose your shit. You can get all butthurt and not be able to take the shit that you can give. Because you're just as insecure as I am. Except you externalize it to bring other people to your level of insecurity and upset. And it's bullshit, dude. I lived way too long. Way too long. I was just quiet. You know, and now I'm done. I'm done being quiet.
Right.
I'm done letting people push me around. I'm done letting people bully me. The only people that can bully me are my customers, because they pay me money. Alright?
Customers, you know? Always right.
The fuck yeah they are. You're yeah. goddamn right. That's the first thing I learned in retail and in service industry. Do not argue with the customer. Okay. Make it right at all costs.
You want some real world advice? Everybody in this life needs to either work a food service job or some form of customer service job, either food service or retail.
Yeah.
Everybody should work one of those jobs. You will learn so much about yourself and about people and yeah. about a workplace.
Absolutely. Like it's yeah. it's your cookie cutter workplace.
That yeah. is real world advice. You learn a lot.
Yeah, I jobs. Recommend to anybody, before you even like choose a career path, go work some shitty jobs.
Yeah.
Go work at a grocery store. Go work in, you know, like in the moving industry. Go work in, you know, customer service. Deal with the public.
Maybe if you can't find what it is that you want to do, find out what you don't want to do.
Right.
That is a starting place.
Yeah.
Go from there. Take that momentum and go forward. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's impossible to think that you're going to live life without some sort of hardship. Even if you've been given everything on a silver platter, there will be certain things that you'll encounter in your life that will make you question things.
Right.
And that's okay. What matters is how you move forward with that. You know, think about big picture questions. Ask yourself better questions, and you can only go forward from there.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to end with this, because I've got to play a show here in about an hour and some change. I do want to end with this. I want to say that I want to ask you a question. Do you really think that we were put on planet Earth as sentient beings to go to work, come home, do your duties, eat your whatever, go to bed, wake up, repeat until we're 55? Soon, I mean, in our generation, people retire and they're going to be wait until they're 72. You know, you really think that God or whatever divine energy you believe in put us here to do exactly that? You really think that that's what nature intended for us? I want you to think about that. It's a pretty rhetorical question, but I want you to think about that. You really want to work your entire life making someone else rich and for a pension and a retirement fund that's, you know, say you retire at 55, it might get you to 85 if you're very, very lucky and very, very penny-pinching, you know, if you are very frugal with the money. My grandfather has been working part-time janitorial services since he was 65. He retired at 55 from the phone company. He made it 10 years. Money ran out. He had to go back to work. He's now in his mid-70s. Guess what? He still cleans up people's butthole explosions in the fucking stalls. 75 years old. He should not have to do that shit. He likes to build model cars. He needs to be doing that shit. That's what he loves. He loves cars. He loves constructing cars. He loves collecting, you know, the collectible cars and whatever. He's got models. Like, his number of models would probably fill up two of these rooms. Some of them he hasn't put together yet, but, you know, that's what he wanted to do when he retired, was build model cars and just live it, you know, a peaceful life with his wife, you know, with Linda. And I love both of them. I love my grandparents dearly, but it makes me sick to my fucking stomach to see him clocking in at a job at 75, man. Like, no. If he's still around at 80 plus, he'll probably still be working part-time. Social Security doesn't pay the bills, man. It just doesn't. Especially how Grandma likes to buy that name brand shit. Love you, Grandma. All right, folks. That's where I'm going to end. Sorry it got a little heavy in there, but we really wanted to hammer some topics home in regards to this. But if you are in high school and you are fucking clueless, you have no idea, I highly recommend a trade school. Because that trade school is a 1 to 2 year program, and they will get your ass in a job. Plain and simple. Diesel mechanics, we're needing a shit ton of diesel mechanics. And I know for a fact, entry level, right out of community college, you're making at least $50,000 a year being a diesel mechanic. If not more. There's some diesel mechanics that work for 5 years. They're turning six figures. Because they got good at a trade. So something like that for the ladies, look into cutting hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mother's
ladies
been,
can be welders too.
Listen. My mother's been a hairdresser for 35 years now, and in year 15, she was grazing $75,000 a year. Guess what? If you go to a 4-year college, you'll rack that up in debt. If you don't have a plan, you'll rack that up in student loan debt. You'll be paying that till you're dead. Guess what? Most of these trade programs, less than $3,000. And you can make payment plans. That $3,000 is going to get paid off a hell of a lot faster than that $75,000. So, if you don't have a clue, talk to your guidance counselor. If they're not asking the right questions, leave.
Yeah, and that my, I guess, final statement, again, is to just go back to big picture and asking yourself better questions. For anyone that is listening, whether you are in high school or whether you have somebody in your life that is struggling, or whatever age, whatever place in your life you're at, start to ask yourself better questions. And when you see people around you that are struggling, start to ask them better questions. It's not just, oh, hey, how are things are going?
No, feed the village, man.
Hey, where are you at? Where do you see yourself? And again, you don't have to have the answers. you shouldn't feel like a failure if you don't have the answers. Yeah, you don't need the answers. Failing is not a bad thing. Failing is not a bad thing. You need to feel
it's the best teacher on the planet.
You need to fail in order to learn how to succeed.
Absolutely.
You need to go through certain life experiences before you can fully understand and learn lessons and push yourself forward.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid to ask questions, ask the hard questions, and to fail. And to really be introspective about it and learn something from it. That is the best thing you can do for yourself and the people around you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But again, what do I know?
What?
I'm just a little old Nebraska girl.
Well, but you know, you're a lot more than that. And you know, this may reach a million years, who knows? Yeah. But I do want to just end on this line. I want to say, find your fight to fail. That's all, folks. Have a great night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.